Good morning, Evangel family. Now today I really like to share to you what God has been speaking to me, but also as I was preparing this message, I asked the Lord, Lord, what are you speaking to your church? And Lord, what are you doing in this season for your church? And I truly, one of the words that is spoke up to me was the word preparation. God has set a season of preparation and He is preparing us for something greater. So preparing His church for something greater. And one of the things that we just recently have been announced was, you know, to go through the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel. And the point is not to see that great tribulation about to come in the last days, or how horrible it is to be scared of the Antichrist and to be worried, you know, about how Daniel and his three friends, you know, how they go through all those things because of King Nebuchadnezzar, but truly to see that how the church is going to overcome in these last days. And as the tribulation gets greater in that sense, the church will rise up stronger. And I truly believe that God is preparing us for something greater. And there was such great excitement as I was preparing this message. You know, we talk about the last days and preparing for the last days. It's not that we are preparing for the worst, because, you know, there was words where we said that, you know, this COVID-19 is just a little taste of that great tribulation, right? The great plague and pestilence and things like that. You know, it's got a negative. But truly, God is preparing for His church for something better, something in the positive. So if you get what I'm trying to say, you know, and as we go through the book of Daniel, it's not about, you know, when we read about it, it's not about this great evil king, King Nebuchadnezzar, putting Daniel's three friends in the fire. But we see how God mightily saves them by being in the fire with them, right? There was that fourth man. Or it's not about how Daniel was captive, you know, forced to learn the language of the Babylonian or in the lion's den, but really how God used him mightily, right, to interpret dreams and save a company of people through his testimony, right? So we begin to see this great hope, right, for the church in the book of Revelation, not about the Antichrist. Remember, the revelation is about the revelation of Jesus Christ, not only about Him, but also how His body is going to overcome. Amen. So as I go to this message about season of preparation, let me read for you a few scriptures of what context I was trying to say. So in Isaiah 59 verse 19, we see that, you know, it says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, right? Negative. The enemy looks like he's winning, but the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now, as you all went through our life group this week, some of you may have heard the video about prayer and fasting, and there was a statement that was said, right? Higher levels means higher devil. But that's not really true. What the truth behind that is that, you know, when there is, as the church goes to the higher level, or as we go to a higher level, there is greater angelic protection. Isn't that a great hope? Greater assignment means more angels assigned to help us fulfill that great assignment. So I truly believe as we're going into this new season that God is preparing for better, there's not going to be a greater, there may be opposition and things like that, but that's not the focus. The focus is God is going to make us greater. Amen. That's a great hope, great excitement, and I hope it encourages all of us. Now, the next scripture that I want to read to you is our prophetic word for 2020. Hope you still remember this, right? It says, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe His prophets, and you shall prosper. So here, as this was given at the beginning of 2020, before all these things happened, right? But when those things happen, how many of us are really hanging on to this word? You know, all the more, I believe that, you know, all the more when something negative happened like this, you know, all the more we will hang on, for those of us who hang on to the word of God, we will not be shaken. We will be encouraged and we can go through this with no worries, right? As the Australian would say. So, and the next scripture I want to read to you is from Isaiah 60 verse 1 and 2, where it says, arise, shine, for your glory, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. Okay, negative, darkness. but the Lord rises upon you and His glory appears over you. Now, as we go through this season of the restriction being lifted, there are some cautions, right? Like some negative, what I call negative caution, like there might be a second wave coming, second wave of coronavirus. There might be, that we are in recession now. It's not everything looks negative and bleak. But I truly declare for us that there will be hope for those that trust in the Lord their God. There will be hope. There will be light, right? And we will arise strong. We, His people, will arise strong. But, and as we hang on to all these prophetic words, you know, we should, it's not to say that then we should start slacking, we should stop praying, or and there's a season now to call for fasting, or even to stop repenting, right? To continue to check within ourselves, right? What Pastor Louis was sharing last week about purging leaven from ourselves. You know, we shouldn't stop doing that. But what God was speaking is that, to me, was that how we respond or how we prepare in this season will prepare us for that next season that is to come. And this season that we're preparing for, it's going to be greater, it's going to be better for all of us. Amen? So then I asked God this question, how do I prepare then in this season? You have set a season of preparation. How should we prepare? So I'll just read the first point there. Preparation needs to happen before the next season arrives. And many of us can agree that from about February to June, there was this strange season, I call it, a season of isolation, separation, lockdown, right? And I believe that this is a season set by God. Not that coronavirus or the disease came from God, but He allowed it for a purpose. And within split second, we already see that more than 3 months has passed and we are coming out of this lockdown. And have we missed this opportunity during this season? You know, during the season that just passed, practically most of us may have more time at home, more time to ourselves, but definitely there is a shift and a time of shaking that took place, right? And before we know it, lockdown is over and we are back to our old schedule. And the question is this, will we go back to the old way? Or even worse, will we remain the same as in the lockdown times where, you know, oh, it's so nice to stay at home, work from home, church from home, right? Comfortable. And that extra time during the lockdown or whatever time that we had during that time, it's gone now. Do we need another time of shaking for us to change? Or are we just going to remain the same or even worse, fall back to the old? And one of the things that God revealed to me was, you know, like, how much did the COVID-19 affect us or affect different people is due to how prepared they were. Not that they knew it was coming, but it's more that that preparedness was not dependent on knowing something that is hitting them, right? Because once it comes, it is too late. For example, right? Hospitals, some countries did not have enough ICU beds or ventilators. So they're not prepared for that sheer number of infection and how quickly it hit and the severe cases. So, you know, a lot of lives were lost because they were not prepared, right? Some people may not have enough savings. So during this time, as they lose their job, the financial was depleted, right? They were not prepared. Or food or supplies, right? Some people don't really stock up in their home. But those who do regularly stock up in their house, it doesn't really matter, right? They didn't go out panic buying, try to buy the toilet paper or rice, whatever it is, right? It's only the panic set in when those that are not prepared for the situation. And one thing I wanted to say is this context of, you know, we are not resilient. We're not usually prepared for things like this. You know, and we're talking about mental health as well. Right now, there's an increase of mental health. Some people are not mentally prepared to face things like this because they've never experienced it before, never gone through war or curfew or whatever it is. But I truly believe that for those of us that are prepared spiritually, right, just don't even talk about COVID or whatever. But when we are all prepared, having the Word of God in us, having that faith, when something like this hits, we are not shaken, right? So this is what I mean by that preparation needs to happen before the next season arrives. And when is that time to prepare? It's now, when He speaks, right? And for us, Amy and I, right? Before Zion arrives, we needed to prepare first the cot, the nappies, right? All this, if we only start preparing when he arrives, it's already too late, right? And before soldiers go to war, right, they need to train up, they need to prepare for that war. If they suddenly get thrown in the war, that will be too late as well, right? Or before harvest happens, there needs to be some preparation that happens. So, the question is this, are we prepared for what is to come? And the other thing is, the second sentence there, preparation needs to be suited for the next season. So, how do we prepare? Know to prepare for what? And this is the thing that God was speaking to me. So, and I like to take back in about 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Pentecost, how the Holy Spirit and fire filled the house. Now, if you have read in Acts chapter 2, I just highlight a few things, right? They were in one accord, in one place. And what we see is that the glory of God came down and it filled the whole house where they were seating, right? So here, what I want to focus on is the God Spirit filled the whole house. And also during that 2 weeks ago for Pentecost, Pastor Louis gave us this scripture to read, 2 Chronicles chapter 5 to 7, about how when Solomon dedicated the temple, God's glory came down and filled the house. So I'm just trying to tie back that this season that we are looking forward to, it's going to be a great season where God's glory and presence is going to come down on His church. So we got to be prepared for it. We got to prepare the house of the Lord. And I will explain more about that. So in chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, we see that, you know, when all the singers, all the priests come together and they were, and there were 120 priests that were sounding with trumpets, we see that God and the trumpeters and singers were as one. Again, there is that one. And when they were praising the Lord, where He says, "For He is good and His mercy endures forever," what we see is the glory of the Lord fill the house of God. And here we see again about how God came into the house, right, in His glory like a cloud. And this, for all of us, we can say that this is kind of like a revival that happened, right? What the Pentecost that happened, that's a kind of revival, don't you think? When God truly has come down. And one thing that I asked my life group members was, what does revival look to you? You know, we pray for revival. We say like, "Lord, revival, revival." We pray for revival for the nation and all that. What does it actually mean, right? And as we begin to see that the revival has to first start within us before a revival of nation can happen. So I want to then link this to the temple of the Lord is no more that physical temple, but it is said that in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 to 17, that do you not know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple. And another one in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20, like, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? So I want to take it into here, that revival that we always look for or pray for, we like to think about nations, great mighty move of God, miracles and all that. But I truly believe that in this season of preparation, God is speaking that that revival has to happen first in this temple, in all of us. And talking about a temple or the house of the Lord, we're not talking about obviously the physical temple or building. And today, what I want to take the context is that we as the temple where God's Spirit dwell. But also, not to forget that, although today that is my focus about us individually, but also us corporately, it's also told us that it is the dwelling of God among His people, right? All of us together is also forming that house, that temple, or that dwelling for God. As it says in Ephesians 2:18, right? Or I'll skip to about 21. Like in whom the whole building being fitted together, all of us coming together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So here, the church, right? This is a corporate speaking now, right? That we are described as the temple for the dwelling place of God. Although that's not my focus today, but as highlighted, there is an aspect of unity, right? The Pentecost, they came as one, God's glory fell. When Solomon dedicated the temple, the priests and they blew the trumpet as one, glory of God came down and filled the temple, filled the house. What a great hope and expectation, isn't it? When we will finally meet together in one accord, when this restriction is fully lifted and all of us come together in one accord, what are we expecting? That glory of God come down? Isn't that called a revival, right? That tangible presence of God being felt, coming down like a cloud. And so this is what is the context that I'm trying to say when we say about preparing the house of the Lord, preparing that place that God wants to dwell. But today, I'll just focus on us being that temple, the individual temple for God's Spirit. So the question is this, right? How do we prepare? So I'm just taking from the lessons from 2 Chronicles 5 to 7. I'm sure most of you have read this. So maybe this is the same insights that you got from reading 2 Chronicles 5 to 7. But I'll just share to you what I believe God was speaking to me about. You know, as we prepare the temple right, then God's glory will come down and fill that place. And to me, that's the revival I'm looking for myself first. Because in anything that happens in a nation, revival speaking, right? It's got to start first from us, start from the church, right? Repenting and all that. Then God begins to move in the nation. Amen. So today is again a self-check, self-evaluation. Have we prepared well? Have we? It's not too late to prepare for the next season. Let's do it now. Amen. So number one, to be prepared, it first must start from our heart. Now, why I say this, right? In Chronicles chapter 6, when Solomon was speaking here, because it says that now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father, whereas it was in your heart to build the temple, you did well in that it was in your heart. So here, when we want to really prepare for God to dwell in each of us, to prepare the house, it has to start from the heart. Why? Because when we make that decision with our heart rather than our mind, it will likely lead to have a lasting result. It's not to say we'll be perfect, we won't fall, or we won't be discouraged. But if we already set it in our heart, just like Daniel in chapter 1, purpose in his heart not to defile himself, right? We will see that conviction, that commitment. It's not just about emotion, it's not just about whether I feel like it or not, but it's that conviction and that commitment. And there was a video that we used to watch from John Austin. He said, you know, how strong is your 1-2? So today, I ask all of us today, how strong is our 1-2 to really prepare for the house of God, for God to invade us? Amen? And there is a season of our fasting as well. Again, we don't just enter it with our mind, because if we enter in our mind, what will we think? Oh, you know, fasting is great because, you know, it means I'm dieting. Maybe I'll lose some weight as well. But if we enter it with our heart being that, Lord, I truly want to disconnect myself from the world and with prayer to be connected to you. Now, if we decide that with our heart, truly we will see the result. And also the Bible talks about, you know, all of us seeking Him, loving Him with our whole heart. I read to you like Deuteronomy 6:5, you know, it says that love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. That, the heart. In Psalms 119, as I was reading this the other day, just in the first few verses, it's talking about seeking Him with our whole heart, obeying Him with our whole heart. You know, verse 2 says, blessed are those who keep His testimony, who seek Him with the whole heart. Verse 10 says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. So here, everything that we have to do in terms of seeking God, coming to Him, it has to first start from the heart. Amen? Now, the second one is, okay, I come back to the 2 Chronicles 5 and 6, where it says here in chapter 5, verse 6, that King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him before that were sacrificing sheep, oxen that could not be counted or numbered for the multitude. You know, in the Old Testament, right? When a sacrifice is acceptable to God, as it happened here, the fire of God would come down and consume it. So we see that when Solomon had finished praying, a fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. But now, as we are here in the New Testament, right, what are we told to do, right? We're not to sacrifice sheep and oxen anymore. But before, what we are told in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says that, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." So now we present ourselves as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him, which is our reasonable service. So here, we are told to present ourselves as the sacrifice. Now, as the sacrifice, it needs to be sanctified. We can first be already sanctified by the sacrifice that Jesus made, right? In Hebrews 10:10, it says there that Christ's death by one offering, He has perfected forever to those who are being sanctified. So, but also on the other thing that, as Pastor Lubick sharing last week about, you know, purging leaven for all of us, you know, to prepare ourselves by sanctifying ourselves, have we allowed anything to creep in? Have we allowed leaven that is not of God to creep in? Right? The sacrifice that we are presenting ourselves has to be holy, right? And if there is anything that we struggle with, just present it to God. Just present it to God. And truly, God will begin to invade. Amen? And as a living sacrifice, this is the question, right? We are still alive, not like a dead sacrifice. Will we jump off the altar? Will we come suddenly present on the altar and then we jump it off, right? So, but when we truly sacrifice ourselves, what we are saying to God is, it is no more my will. I present myself on the altar. We don't present ourselves, then come back down. Present, come back. But truly, we present all of ourselves. Amen? So truly, I begin to see here, there is a pattern about when God invaded the temple. Firstly, there was the heart that truly wanted to build that temple first, as David answered. And also, it says a bit later, Solomon also said, it is in my heart to build it, right? And then second, there were sacrifices that happened. So we present ourselves as the living sacrifice, but also the Bible also talks about, we are bringing sacrifice of praise, right? So, and that's in my next point a bit later. Not the next one, point number 4. So, second one here, present ourselves as the sanctified sacrifice. Jesus first sanctified us with His blood, but we are still being sanctified. So, as we continue to repent and ask for the blood of Jesus to sanctify us, I truly believe we will begin to change from glory to glory. Amen? All right, next one, number 3. It said that in 2 Chronicles 5 to 7, one of the verses there, you know, it stood out to me that Solomon, when he spoke, he said, "I put the Ark of the Covenant there in the temple." And in chapter 5, verse 10, it said, "Nothing was in the Ark except the 2 tablets which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they had come out of Egypt." Now here, I see this as in the temple, there is the ark there, right? It's in the middle, right? And in chapter 6, verse 11, Solomon said, "I put the ark there." It's like showing us that we must remember His covenant, remember His commandment for us. And as we begin to see the covenant of God, that we are now in the new covenant, that Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 11 to 15, as it says, and as we partake of the Holy Communion, right, as we partake the cup, it says, "This blood is the new covenant in my blood," right? So let's at this time not only remember the promises of the covenant, of the new covenant, but let's declare it with our mouth. Let's declare the promises, the prophetic words that's all been declared to us. All this covenant and commandment, as we remember, we will begin to see that we are following this pattern, that we remember the covenant of God, especially in the new covenant, where it says, like, for example, when we call on the name of Jesus, we shall be saved. one of the new aspect of the new covenant is, you know, he has written his law in our hearts. He has made us kings and priests, right? So all this, as we begin to declare over ourselves, we will begin to see us change and being ready for the invasion of God in his house, which is within us. But we will see, truly, we begin to see God's glory to come down upon our lives. Amen. And the last one, when in 2 Chronicles 5:13, it says, "Indeed, it came to pass, when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud." When did the cloud came? When did God invade that temple? When there was praising and thanking. So here, again, God is speaking to me that in this season, whether it looks good or bad outside, we are to keep praising and thanking him. Keep the spirit of thankfulness. As I was sharing last week in my announcement, did we suddenly have a spirit to complain? One of the things that really easy happened to us is, it is easy for us humans to complain, right? Any inconvenience that happened to us, we start to complain first. And we forget to keep thanking God every day for the things that he has done in our lives, for the daily mercy that he showed upon us. So as we come together here, and I hope you can see where I'm going with in terms of looking at when they dedicated the temple and the glory of God filled the house. Number one, first there was that heart that truly wants to build the house. So first, our heart. Let's check within ourselves. Do we really want God to work in our heart? Do we really want God to help us to build this house for his dwelling? Number two, will we rededicate our heart and present ourselves today as a sacrifice, right? As you, in your life group, you know, if you want to stand, kneel, or surrender, remember, remember this new covenant, the promises of God, and declaring it. The most important, not only to remember his promise, but declaring it over our lives, declaring it as though it was so, right? And to take some time as well, as we end today, to sing songs of praise, songs of thankfulness to him. And I begin to see that as we work in this, in each ourselves first, individually, we will see the glory of God come and invade our lives. And then when we come together in one accord, we will see that greater corporate invasion of God's glory in our life. Amen. Is this what we're looking for? Is this what you're looking forward to? I hope you are, because truly, as God was speaking to me about this, as we prepare well, as we prepare now, that next season that is about to come will be better, will be greater. We will be so excited because we are prepared for it. We don't want to miss out. We don't want to miss this time as he's speaking to us. But truly, be ready. The word today is be ready for that great, great promise that is about to come to us and to his church. Amen. God bless you.